All right, well, look, let's get into the footy action. Starting on Thursday night, it was obviously the Richmond Tigers and the Hawthorn Hawks. Anthony, a bit of an upset here. The Hawks beating Richmond 71-39. I watched this game. I've watched every game of Richmond's, and I have to be honest, they're not looking good. They're not looking good. Tell us what you saw, how you saw it, what's going wrong? What's happening?
I just want to highlight something from the start. We said this, I think, last week as well. Mm. Marlon Pickett, I don't think is in their best 22.
No, he's not. He had one excellent game in the grand final last year. He shouldn't be playing. He should not be in that team.
Like, he got run down on the boundary at one point where he just looked like he thought he had all the time in the world to go collect his ball in the pocket. Mm. And just like lumbered after it with the guy right on his tail. And that was actually, for me, the story of the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was. You know, Hawthorn just wanted the ball or wanted the man with the ball. And Richmond were just going through the motions in slow motion. Like, and also got to say, Ben McAvoy.
Big boy McAvoy.
Like, I think I can't remember if we were saying this discussion, but saying about, you know, oh, they're too tall in their back line. To especially playing Richmond, you can't go in that tall. He shut Lynch down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Oh, look, mate, let's not talk about Lynch. I don't want to.
But that's McAvoy.
Like, yeah, I know. He shouldn't be shutting Lynch down. But this is the problem with Lynch. Lynch is not an AFL footballer. He's not. He's a VFL footballer. Lynch is not good enough to play in the AFL. And I said this last week. I did say
this
last week.
You're saying this from a point of view of...
I have said this from the very start. I thought this was going to be his breakout year. I don't think he's good enough. I think he has one good game every month, perhaps. And that is enough to keep him in the side.
Usually against a bunny team like Richmond, yep, would just destroy someone and they've got no matchup for Lynch.
Yep, I don't think he is any good.
In saying that, though, he looked a lot better than Riewoldt.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Riewoldt, and we know Riewoldt can play.
But we do. But the thing is with Lynch is that I watch him because I have him in my team. Everyone knows that. Everyone that listens to the show know I have him in my team. It's love hate. More hate. I don't love him at all. But I watch him a lot. I watch him like a hawk, and that's exactly what the Hawks did, I guess. But he often runs under the ball. I think
I do want to highlight something here, and it's a theme that I think we're going to come across a lot in this round because it did come up a lot. But when you put pressure on the midfield enough that they don't have clean kicks going into the forward line, and that's what Richmond did. Their entries into the forward 50 were
I'm not just talking about this week. I watch him a lot every single week, and he runs under the ball every single week. 80% of the time, he is underneath the ball. He cannot read the flight of the ball. He can't do it. You know, and it shows. Just watch him. Anyone watching the show, Anthony, listen, you know, anyone listening, watch him. Watch him next week. I guarantee you 80% of the time he runs under the ball. He cannot read the flight. What's that?
Who have they got next week?
Let's have a look. But anyway, so how did Richmond lose? What happened? What did the Hawks do better than
they've just killed him next week? He's going to carve up.
No, he won't. He'll run another ball 80% of the time.
Yeah, so Richmond just attacked the ball carrier. They wanted it. Hawthorn. That's all it was. And Richmond just weren't there to play.
No, they weren't.
And it's not a case. And look, when you have one team just so far above in the pressure rating, it can make another team look slow, look old, everything like that. But Richmond just weren't playing their game. And usually at that, when they're doing that, they do look for someone like Dusty Martin to give him something, to move himself forward, to move himself into the midfield, to inject a bit of... They didn't have someone able to then go, I'm going to take this game and give us something.
To step up, yeah. No one really...
Cotchin worked his ass off. But he just has this workman-like level that he stays at. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to take a team on your back and say, come on, guys, we need to do better. Yeah. You know, and when they don't have Martin doing that, when Riewoldt isn't having an influence, because Riewoldt's another one who can do that, he can say, you know what? No, I'm going to kick all 8 goals for us today.
Yeah, and he's done it before.
Yeah, there was just no one there doing that for them, but also Hawthorn weren't giving him a chance.
Yeah, Hawthorn were a much better side.
And this isn't like a lot of the time we'll sit here and say, oh, because Alistair Clarkson. But if Alistair Clarkson did anything, it was just lighting a fire under Hawthorn, because they didn't change structures. Mm-hmm. They didn't change pretty much anything from the week before except their intent on the ball. That's all it was. It's all in the head. It's all in the headspace. We're going to talk about this a bit today, but that's what it is. If you, if you're 20% off, you're going to get done at AFL level. If you're like they were 60% off, you get flogged.
Yeah. And so you're right. We are going to talk about that a lot this week, because it's not just Richmond that we've seen it. We've seen it in a lot of teams. That the teams that are winning are the ones that are going in harder. The pressure is there. They're the teams that are really just putting in the effort. And look, you would expect that the teams that put in the effort to win, but it's not just that, is it? It's different. It's different this season with the shorter quarters and everything that's going on. The teams that are putting
it's because there's not enough time to turn a game around if you're
exactly
off.
Yep. There's no junk time. There's no, you know,
time for that team who is applying this incredible amount of pressure to say we can't sustain this for a full 30 minutes a quarter. And then your other team gets a roll on, then maybe gets one or two quick goals that steamroll, and then they start coming back. Yep. But that's not there anymore. It's 16 minutes of intense pressure, and then they get a break and come out and do it again because they're confident. Whereas the other teams had 16 minutes of just nothing we're doing is working. And then it's like quicksand.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I've seen a lot of commentary about the 16-minute quarters, and I know we're going back to it next season, but why are we persisting this season? Why do we keep them on? Because
we're finding out right now why we're doing it, because they're going to have to squeeze it a round in right now.
Yeah, sure. But the whole point was that they were going to have to squeeze in a couple of games every single week. That's not happening now. I think if you do full games, you can do two games a week. I mean, these players are elite. These players are running, you know, they're doing 17 plus in the beep test. They're running kilometers every day. They can run out two games a week. They can. So why are we persisting with 16-minute quarters? I don't know.
I think that as much as you're saying they're elite athletes, they can do it, everything like that, the five-day breaks take it out of teams. It does. It's been shown it does, because it's not just running for a big test. You're getting hit. You're getting up. You're getting physical contact, everything like that. So I don't think our squad sizes are big enough to say if a player's sore, we have to rest them for this midweek game. Then the talent you have that comes up doesn't replace who you've just dropped. You know, you might have to rest three or four players. The guys you're bringing up aren't up to the standard. And then, so you don't. You say, oh, well, we can't afford to drop this player. You play them sore. They get injured. They're out for the next.
Happy with it. I want
over many weeks.
I'm happy with it. Nah, good. Nah, look, I'll tell you what, mate. I'll tell you what, make them play. They're getting the big bucks, aren't they?
Make them play. Bucks. Make them all hub.
Make them play.
They get paid enough.
Let's go through some Dream Team Supercoach scores for this game. Obviously, on Richmond's side, your stalwart Hooley was one of the big scorers, and then Short there. And then on the other side, your boy Sicily, you love him. He did well. He got 128, but only 77 Dream Team. And I'll get your thoughts on why it was so big for Supercoach there. But the big news there is O'Meara, 142 Supercoach, 85 Dream Team, 23 possessions and a goal.
I did speak a little bit out of turn when I said that the only difference between the teams from this week and last week were intent. Mm-hmm. O'Meara changes their lineup a lot. It gives them a lot more to do in there. It gives him another option because he's an inside-outside runner. He can win the ball inside and take it outside himself, or have the ball fed to him outside. So he did change their makeup a little bit through that midfield, but you can't say that that was all it was, because him being there then allowed Wingard to get more freedom when he came into the middle.
Yeah, and he needs his freedom, doesn't he, Wingard?
He does. If you clamp down on him, he's not going to perform.
Yeah, and so why didn't they clamp down on Wingard? Knowing that, what didn't they do? Was it just a case of not having Dusty there, and so they didn't have that? I don't know.
Richmond's belief in their own system is too strong to say that we have to negate another player.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So they're saying, no, we can go head-to-head with any team in the competition and beat them without having to stop one of their players.
Yeah, which obviously hasn't worked. It's not that's not the case anymore, is it?
No, and it's not even that people have figured them out. I think it's just the between the ears.
Arrogance? You know?
Yeah, I mean, you look after the game, and of course, you know, you don't want them being like having a cry when they lose. But you don't want guys like Marley and Pickett and Bolton sitting there laughing to each other about what just happened after the game.
Yeah, I know.
You just got smashed.
Both of them, 38 Dream Team points, 9 and 10 touches for Bolton and Pickett, respectively, and only one goal, one for Bolton. That's not what you want to see, is it? You want your players. You want to see those players head in hands.
Well, they've just given it their all and gone, what do we do wrong? Where can we improve?
Yep, you know? And they're not doing that.
Obviously, as West Coast fans, we just copped a massive loss again. But right after that game, they're sitting in the room with their heads in their hands, getting talked to by the coach saying, this isn't good enough.
And we are going to talk about the West Coast game, and it's one of those games where the team with the better pressure won, or the team that wanted it, you could see it. But let's look. Okay, that's what we've got. We, you know, a few big scorers: Amira, Wingard, Sicily on Hawthorn. You had Short and Hooley on the other side with Richmond. A bit of an upset. But you know, I said it 2 weeks ago, and I said it again last week, and I will say it again this week. Anyone can beat anyone.